Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 7. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." Amen. Thus ends the reading of God's Word. Let's pray and ask God's help again. Father, we thank you for this amazing announcement. Lord, that the tomb is empty, that he is not there, but has been raised. Father, we thank you that no one has ever found him. No tomb can contain him. We praise you for him. We praise you for giving him to us and opening our eyes that we might rejoice in this. And Father, we pray that you would take us now deeper into all that your word has to say about the resurrection and what it means for our lives. So Holy Spirit, come and apply the truth of the resurrection to us. And we do pray, God, that you would change us. Lord, change us today. For Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to ask you a question to begin, and I want you to think about it seriously. What do you fear? What do you fear most in your life? What makes you anxious? What causes you to have sleepless nights and worry? What do you fear? So many of our fears come from a failure to truly and deeply believe in the resurrection from the dead. So many of our fears come from a failure to truly and deeply, genuinely believe in the resurrection from the dead. We fail to believe in the resurrection of life. The abundant life. So many of our fears come from the fact that we think we will miss out on something. That we'll miss out on something really, really good. And so we won't be happy. And we won't be satisfied. And so we fear. Children. Children here this morning. Maybe some of your arguments and disagreements with your brothers and sisters come because you fear not having possession of this certain toy. Brother has it. Sister has it. The neighbor has it. And I want it. And I don't have it. And I'm going to cry because I want to enjoy that toy. Children, if you believe in the resurrection, oh, you would know. You would know that nothing that you desire will be kept from you in the resurrection. You see, the resurrection applies to children playing with toys and not getting along. I wonder, parents, if you apply the resurrection to that when you're trying to help them understand the gospel. Oh, children, there's coming a day. You will set your toys aside for something so much more amazing and beautiful and glorious. Or school. Some of you older teenagers, you're trying to get into certain high school or you're thinking even about college and you want to get into this or that school and you fear. Oh, the resurrection applies. The resurrection applies. Nothing good will be ultimately withheld from you. Or job. You want this or that job. Or you long for this or that relationship with this boy, this girl, this man, this woman, this marriage, this friendship. And you're afraid this is going to be withheld from you. And you're going to get left out. Oh, the resurrection will crush that fear if you believe it. If you really believe in the resurrection from the dead. Children. You want children. And you don't have them. Oh, the resurrection applies. The resurrection applies. You want status. You want success. You want money. You don't feel like you're good enough. You fear that you're not good enough. You don't measure up. You don't measure up to mom and dad. You don't measure up to this other person's expectations. Friend, the resurrection applies. The resurrection applies. Other fears come from the fact that we're afraid we might lose something that we already have. We might lose something that we already have, and therefore we won't be happy and satisfied. We'll lose that toy. We've got it now, children, but we might lose this. How could I live without the Xbox? How could I live without whatever toy is popular now? You might lose your good grades. You might lose your job. You might lose your relationship. You might lose whatever it is that you so cherish, and it makes you fearful. Friend, death cries out to you. Death cries out to you. You will miss out on all that's good, and I will take everything from you. Do you know that? Death cries out to you, I will take everything from you and leave you empty. And people have feared death from the very beginning when sin entered the world. Hebrews 2 verses 14 through 15, which speaks about our glorious Savior who conquered the one who has the power of death, says this, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, He Himself likewise, speaking of Jesus, partook of the same things, that through death He might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subjected to lifelong slavery. Many are enslaved to the fear of death. As we sang, death has died, love is won, hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus Christ has overcome, He has risen from the dead. We don't have to fear death as believers in Christ. And all those things that bring fear into your heart, you don't need to fear them because of the resurrection. Those of you who are here this morning that aren't believers, that aren't believers in Christ, you should fear death. You should fear death. Friend, death is coming. Death is coming. There is a 100% death rate in the human race. Did you know that? We're all dying. We sometimes take this more seriously when the doctor tells us you have 6 months to live, you have 3 years to live. But friend, I can tell you, you have a few years to live. You have a few short years to live, and you will die. Are you ready? Are you ready? Friend, we have a message that we proclaim every Sunday of how you can be ready. You can be ready because there's one who's come, whose name is Jesus. And He never sinned. I so appreciate when people give testimonies and they're able to be so open about their sins. That cheaters and liars and fornicators, having sex outside of marriage, having children outside of wedlock, having abortion, that's sin. And we deserve hell for that. You heard Tara. She knows she deserved God's everlasting hellfire for that. And so do I. And so do you. But oh my, pity Tara when she was in that church that didn't get to the good news. Oh my, there's a gospel And yes, we ought to tremble at the flames of hell. But there's a good news about Jesus who came into the world to save sinners, love sinners, gave His life for sinners. He never sinned. He obeyed God's law, did everything perfectly righteous, died on the cross where He suffered the wrath and the curse and the judgment of God, and then rose up from the grave on the third day and calls to everyone through my weak voice. He's calling now, repent, believe the gospel. And you shall be saved. You'll be forgiven of all your sins. You'll have the new life that Tara just testified about. God will change your life. You won't keep doing those things. You'll begin to hate those things and those behaviors. You'll find a faithful church and you'll commit to be there regularly to learn God's Word and encourage other believers. He will change your life. And friend, it's a sad place where Tara was. In the choir, going to church, teaching Sunday school. That doesn't mean that you're born again. But you can be if you repent and believe the gospel. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So come. Come, unbeliever, come and believe on the Lord Jesus and have life today. Father, we pray that Your Spirit would be working now, that You would be convicting, that You would be drawing people to Yourself. Lord, anyone who's not here that doesn't know You, we beg You, Lord, that no one in this room, no one in this room would not be present in the Lamb's Book of Life. No one in this room would be cast out into utter darkness on the last day. Lord, breathe life. For Jesus' sake. And our Lord Jesus has been raised. And we want to think about that today. And so we see the fact of His resurrection in Luke 24. And I want to think with you today over several reasons why Jesus Christ rose from the dead from the Bible. If you notice in your bulletin, there's a little handout. It lists 25 reasons that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And don't get nervous. I know the time. I realize this is a 25-point sermon. And there'll be short points. But I have my next 25 years of Easter sermons mapped out because each one could be a whole sermon. So go to that insert there and you can follow along with me. I would encourage you to take that insert home and read over the Scriptures, meditate upon it. I'm going to be going to a lot of different places in the Bible, so you can follow along with me or just listen. Number one, Jesus Christ rose from the dead to fulfill God's promises about Jesus in the Old Testament. Did you know that Jesus' resurrection was prophesied in the Old Testament? 1 Corinthians 15:4, He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. It's in the Scripture. Where? Isaiah 53, 8 and 10. He was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people. It was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. You see that? He shall prolong his days. He was cut off from the land of the living, but he shall prolong his days. That was prophesied 700 years before Jesus was ever born. Friend, if you're here this morning and you doubt the truth of God's Word and the truth of Christ's resurrection, go to Isaiah 53. Read the whole chapter and see how God foretold 700 years before Jesus was born exactly what would happen to the detail on the cross and the resurrection. His days are prolonged. He is risen. Or Acts 13. 30 and 32 through 33 and 35. But God raised him from the dead, and we bring you the good news that what God promised to the fathers, this has been fulfilled to us and their children by raising Jesus. Therefore, he says also in another psalm, you will not let your Holy One see corruption. That's from Psalm 16. It's the most oft-quoted verse in the New Testament about the resurrection from the Old Testament. Jesus would not see corruption. Jesus would not see corruption. Paul Tripp writes, the victory of Jesus' empty tomb is a historical validation of the reliability of every promise God ever made to His children. Jesus' resurrection is the yes and amen to all of God's promises in Jesus. They will come to pass. Number two, Jesus Christ rose from the dead to fulfill what Jesus said He would do. If you remember when we were going through the Gospel of Mark, that refrain, Jesus will do what He says He's going to do. He always does what He says He's going to do. And so in Mark 9:31, Jesus said, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill Him. And when He is killed, after 3 days, He will rise." Friend, do you know the most important reason to believe that Jesus rose from the dead is because God said so? I could give you all kinds of, well, there were eyewitnesses. He was seen by over 500 people that were still alive at the time when the Gospel of Mark was written. So if it was wrong and untrue, all these witnesses could say, "No, that didn't happen because I didn't see it." You see? Or I could tell you about the fact that the tomb was empty and nobody's ever found the bones of Jesus. Or I could tell you about the changed lives of the disciples, that though they were scared and fled and ran away and denied Jesus, for some reason, after 3 days, they became bold and were willing to die for Him. But you see, those aren't the most important reasons. And we could go on and on with those kinds of reasons. The most important reason is because God said so. Listen to one scholar write about this truth. Christ strongly disapproved of those who sought signs beyond the authority of His words. I don't know if you're here this morning and you're seeking signs and wonders. Jesus didn't have much patience with those people. God has spoken. God has spoken. The refusal of men to believe Christ's word is not attributed to a lack of factual evidence, but rather to their not abiding in that self-evidencing word of God. Scripture is authoritative in itself to testify of Christ, for God's word is more sure than any eyewitness experience of the facts. I wonder if you believe that Jesus' word in Scripture, God's word, is more authentic, powerful than any experience you could ever have. If men will not submit to the self-evidencing ultimate standard of God's word, neither will the fact of any historical resurrection convince them. Remember Luke 16? Remember Luke 16? The cry for someone to go to the realm of the dead and show them these evidences, you know, give them an experience. And Jesus said, if they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone rises from the dead. You see, this, you might think, well, Pastor, if this roof opened wide and God came down and said, "Here I am, believe me," then I would believe in Jesus. Then I would start living a righteous life. Then I would turn away from fornication. Then I would turn away from sex outside of marriage. Then I would change my life because that would be an experience, an evidence. Jesus says, "No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. Your experiences mean nothing. God hath spoken. God has spoken." Jesus said, if you will not believe Moses and the prophets, neither will you be convinced that someone rises from the dead. Because, friends, it's not an intellectual issue. It's a heart issue. And your heart, if you will not believe the word, is in rebellion against God. And it doesn't matter how many bells and whistles and smoke coming out and entertainment we do, you will not believe. God must come to you, like He did to Terah, and open your eyes to see the truth of what God has said in His Word. His Spirit must ravish you and overwhelm you and open your eyes. And so, friend, if you're not one of Christ's, ask Him, "Lord, I need You to open my eyes. Show me that Your Word is true. Show me that the Gospels are true." Jesus rose from the dead for our justification. Romans 4:25, "Who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification." What is justification? Us being made right with God. Us being reconciled to God. Us having all of our sins forgiven and having Christ's righteousness counted as ours that we receive by faith. Jesus rose from the dead, so all the work that needed to be done to make it happen for you to be reconciled to God would be done. As one has said, the resurrection of Jesus is God's amen to Jesus' cry, "It is finished." He's done all that needs to be done to reconcile you to God, to justify you. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, so our faith won't be futile. 1 Corinthians 15, 17 through 19. "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied." Friend, it's not true that it's a good life to live, even if it's not true. It's a good life. Just follow Jesus, you know. If you're wrong, then what have you lost? Everything. Everything. No, if we're living a righteous, Christ-like life, are you living that kind of life? Where someone would say, if that's not true, that guy, he's a pity. He is a pity. It is pitiful how he's living if Christ is not risen. No, it's not a good thing for us if Christ is not risen. The Christian life is not a good life to live if Christ is not risen. It's a pitiable life. But Christ has risen. He has risen. So we don't live a pitiable life. We live an enviable life. Our faith is not futile. It's not pointless. It's not meaningless. He has been raised. Jesus Christ rose from the dead so that we would be raised imperishable. 1 Corinthians 15, 42. "So is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable." Friend, do you know if you trust Christ because He died and rose, you will be raised imperishable. You will not perish, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You won't perish. You won't be destroyed. You won't see corruption. You won't see decay. You will get a new body someday. An imperishable body. It will be exactly the kind of body that you want. There will be no disappointments in shape or anything else. You will be exactly, totally happy and satisfied. A new, glorified body that will never perish, that you and everybody else will be absolutely happy about. Jesus rose from the dead so that He would be a life-giving spirit. 1 Corinthians 15, 45, "Thus it is written, the first Adam became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit." Did you notice Jesus is called the last Adam? The Bible is so connected. And so the first Adam came and sinned and got kicked out of the garden. And then if you remember from Mark's gospel, when Jesus was first tempted, right? He had an encounter with the devil. The first Adam had an encounter with the devil and lost. Jesus had an encounter with the devil and won. You remember Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness among the wild animals, hearkening back to Eden. And the first temptation, do you remember what it was? To eat. What was Adam's temptation? To eat. And the first Adam should have kicked Satan out. But Jesus came and kicked the devil out. You see, He's the second Adam, the last Adam, and He is the life-giving Spirit. He can give us life. He can give us life. He can give us health. He can give us hope. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, number 7, so we would bear the likeness of the man from heaven. 1 Corinthians 15, 49, "Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven." Christian, do you know that you are being conformed to the image of Jesus? He will not rest at that job, at that task. He is out to conform you to Jesus' image. Did you know that's the most important thing in your life? That you become more like Christ? That's more important than sometimes the things that you so long for and desire that cause you so much pain. Sometimes God doesn't give you what you so long for because in that pain and struggle, He's making you more like Jesus. Or sometimes He takes something from you that you so love and cherish to make you more like Jesus. That's the most important thing. That you be conformed to the image of Christ, and He will do it. He will do it. He who began a good work in you will complete it to the day of Christ Jesus. You are being conformed to the image of the heavenly man. Jesus Christ rose from the dead so that death would be swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians 15:54-58, when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He conquered death. Friend, I faced death in the eyes last Sunday morning. I remember facing death in the eyes when my 92-year-old grandmother died. And I remember standing over her casket and just feeling deep in my soul and heart, I hate death. I hate death. It's not just the circle of life. It's an imposter. It's an enemy. It's evil. It's the last enemy. We hate death. Takes everything from us. Jesus conquered it. Jesus conquered death. He's the victor over death. And friend, if you want to be victorious over death, you must have Him. You must have Him. Muhammad is dead. We say that a lot, it brought an awning, and it makes a lot of people mad. It makes Muslims mad. And I had a guard come up to me and say, why do you say that? Why do you belittle other people's religion? Why don't you just talk about yours and the positive aspects of it? Why do you have to belittle what other people believe? And I said, because, sir, it's sending them to hell. And I love them. I love them. And if I love them and they're believing something, something false, something untrue that will lead them to eternity in hell, I must speak. If I love them. Parents, if your children are running out in the road, you stop them. You stop them. And so I love Muslims, and because I love Muslims, I hate Islam. I hate Islam because I love Muslims. Muhammad is dead. Jesus is alive. Buddha is dead. Jesus is alive. All the Hindu gods are dead, but Jesus is alive. And friend, you must take the one who's living. You must take the one who's living to live. Jesus Christ rose from the dead so that He would be the first fruits. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. What does first fruits mean? It means Christ is the first to rise, and His resurrection guaranteed that all those in Him shall also rise. There's no question here. It is fact. It will happen. Christ is the guarantee. He's the surety. He's the first fruits. He rose, and all those in union with Him will rise again. Jesus Christ rose from the dead so that we would have new life, full of love and holiness, as those dead to sin and alive to righteousness. Romans 6:3-13. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. All that to say, if you've believed on Christ, you're in union with Him. And when He died, you died. Just wonder if Satan ever comes to you and says, "You did this. I know who you are. You did this. You're evil. I can't believe you did those things." Maybe speaking to Tara sometimes, "I can't believe you did those things you just told everybody. You did that? How do you combat Satan?" One pastor told me the best way is just to agree with him. "Yes, devil, I did that. And I did a lot of other worse things than that. But guess what? I was crucified with Jesus. I've gone to hell for those sins already. I've gone to hell because I was punished in Christ. And I've been resurrected with Christ to newness of life. And so now God sings over me like He does His own Son. You are my beloved daughter and you I'm well pleased." That's what union in Christ means. You're forgiven. Your new life in Him. And so you can agree with the devil and tell the devil you're 50 million times worse than he thinks you are. But Jesus paid it all. And I'm forgiven because Christ rose from the dead. And I have a new life. And so I now live in that newness of life. I put to death what already is dead. I don't live in those behaviors anymore. I walk in a new life, a holy life, because I've died to sin. And I don't live in it any longer. Jesus Christ rose from the dead to show it was impossible for death to hold Him. Acts 2:24, God raised Him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for Him to be held by it. Jesus was counted as sin. He was counted as sin on the cross, but He knew no sin. The wages of sin is death, but Jesus had no sin of His own. And so death couldn't hold Him. Death couldn't hold Him. He paid for all of our sins in His body on the tree and died. But He had no sin of His own to pay for. So death couldn't hold Him. Death couldn't hold Him. Paul Tripp said the sermon preached by the empty tomb outside Jerusalem is titled, "Nothing has the power to stop this Savior." Nothing has the power to stop this Savior. Some of you know the song, "If Jesus says yes, no one can say no." That's right. And if Jesus says no, nobody can say yes. Jesus does everything He wants, all the things that He wants, in the way He wants, in just the right time. He is sovereign. He is King. He is Lord. And death cannot stop Him. And no death situation in your life can stop Him. I don't know what you bring in here with you this morning. Hard situations in your life. Hard situations in relationships. Hard situations with children. Situations that you feel are impossible. That there's no way out, there's no hope. Friend, the resurrection gives everyone hope. Even in the most hopeless situation, the most hopeless, impossible situation, the resurrection gives hope. Jesus Christ rose from the dead to give us repentance and forgiveness of sins. Acts 5:30 through 31. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging Him on a tree. God exalted Him at His right hand as leader and Savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Jesus died and rose again to purchase your repentance, to purchase your faith. Did you know that you wouldn't even have the ability to have repentance or faith unless God purchased it and gave it to you as a gift? Jesus' resurrection secures that. Jesus Christ rose from the dead so Jesus would be declared the Son of God with power. Romans 1:4. And was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by His resurrection from the dead. What this does not mean is that Jesus, it does not mean Jesus became the Son of God at His resurrection. Doesn't mean that. You notice that word declared? It doesn't say created or made. It says declared and it says in power. He was declared in power. That's what happened at the resurrection. He's always been the Son of God. There never was a time when the Son was not. He always has been and He always will be. There's nobody before Him and there'll be nobody after Him. You can't impeach Him and He's not going to resign. That's my King. Jesus always has been the Son of God. But He came in weakness. 2 Corinthians 13:4 said, "For he was crucified in weakness, but lives by the power of God." So what is this? This is Jesus' installation, his crowning as the ruling, reigning God-man and Davidic king who has conquered death and has been exalted as Lord in power and all authority. It's like God says of him in Hebrews 1:8, "But of the Son, he says, 'Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom.'" That's amazing. God says to the Son, God. God calls the Son, God. Jesus is God. Jesus is the God-man. You can't be saved unless you believe that. You must bow to King Jesus as God. He came meek and humble. But friend, He's coming back as a lion. He's coming back on a white war horse to crush all of your and my and God's enemies. The Bible describes Him as having a double-edged sword coming out of His mouth and flaming fire coming out of His eyes. Yes, He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, meek and lowly, but He's coming back on a war horse. And friend, if you don't know Him, it will be a frightful day. The Bible says that people will cry for rocks and mountains to fall on them, to shield them from the wrath of the Lamb. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. Come to Christ before that day. Believe Him. Trust Him. Jesus Christ rose from the dead so that Jesus would be the resurrection and the life. John 11, 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Oh, one of my former pastors writes this about a funeral he attended. "One of the most powerful moments in my seminary days was at a funeral of James Morgan, my 36-year-old systematic theology teacher." Young man to die at 36. Lewis Smedes was preaching the sermon, and at one point he lifted up his majestic voice and cried, "James Morgan is not dead." My spine tingled with the heralding of the glorious truth. Friend, that is the truth for everyone who dies in the Lord. They are not dead. They're not dead. Their body's dead, but they're alive in paradise with Jesus. And one day they will be reunited with their body forevermore. Pleasure forevermore. Oh, come to the resurrection of life, friend, that you may never die. Come to Jesus. Believe in Him. Trust in Him. Take Him as your Lord. Jesus Christ rose from the dead so that we would have the powerful life of the Spirit of God dwell in us. Romans 8:11 through 15. "If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you," rhetorical question, yes it does, "He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." Dear Christian, do you realize that the same Spirit who raised Christ lives in you? The same Spirit. The same powerful Spirit. And the whole context of this chapter is that you may say no to sin. That you may live a holy life. That you may follow Jesus. "So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, 'Abba, Father.'" You have the spirit of adoption. God's Spirit in you. You're His child. He loves you. He's adopted you. And so we seek to be like our Father, holy. Jesus Christ rose from the dead so that no one or no thing can ever condemn us. Romans 8, 34 through 39. Who is to condemn? Who is to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God and indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Friend, don't look at your circumstances to try and see whether God loves you or not. Listen to these circumstances. Listen to how bad these circumstances I'm about to read are. And God the Spirit is saying, don't let those cause you to doubt God's love. Look to the cross. Look to the resurrection. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution? Let me just elaborate. Or ISIS cutting my head off? Or ISIS killing my wife and children? Will that separate me from the love of God? Or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The same Spirit dwells in you. And Jesus died and rose from the dead so that you'll never be condemned. Never be condemned. Jesus Christ rose from the dead so we would be delivered from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 through 10, you turn to God from idols to serve the living God, the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. He delivers from the wrath to come. There is wrath to come. There is wrath to come. It's not something that preachers just get all excited about to try to twist your arm to do better. It's coming. Wrath is coming. But Jesus delivers from the wrath to come because He bore the wrath on the cross and rose from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead so we would believe and be saved. Romans 10, 9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Friend, do you need to be saved today? Do you need to be saved? Do you need to be delivered from the wrath to come? God's Word cannot be any clearer. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, not just believe this is a really nice thing Christians do and we have these rituals and this is Easter Sunday and it's so nice. We celebrate, we get together with family, we're going to have potato salad and have, it's a nice Christian holiday. No, He's alive. He's risen. He's King. He's Lord. You believe that. It affects your life. It affects what you'll do next Sunday. It affects what you'll do tomorrow. It affects everything about your life. How you spend your time. How you spend your money. What words you say. What words you won't say. What movies you watch. What movies you won't watch. What music you listen to. What music you won't listen to. What you'll do with your body. And what you won't do with your body. No, do you believe He's risen? Friend, if He's risen, and He is, He demands your full allegiance in every area of life. Nothing is off limits to the risen Christ. Believe Him and be saved. Believe Him and be saved. Jesus Christ rose from the dead so that we would enjoy God's presence. 2 Corinthians 4, 14. Knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into His presence. Friend, there is nothing more beautiful and more loving, more wonderful, more satisfying, more pleasurable than the presence of God. Nothing. Nothing. God says in His presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore at His right hand. There's nothing more enjoyable than the presence of God. And in Christ's resurrection, He restores you to fellowship in the presence of God. Jesus Christ rose from the dead so that we would be born again to a living hope in God. 1 Peter 1:3-4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, and kept in heaven for you. Friend, there's hope in God. There's a living hope in God because of the resurrection. You won't miss out on anything. Did you notice that? There's an inheritance waiting for you that is imperishable, undefiled, and kept for you. You're not going to miss out on anything if you know Christ because of the resurrection. You will have everything and more that you've never dreamed or imagined in pleasure and joy and satisfaction in the presence of God for all eternity because of this inheritance. Jesus Christ rose from the dead so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2:8-11. Friend, every knee will bow to Him someday. Every single one will bow either willingly or unwillingly. And we want you to bow willingly. We want you to bow willingly today to trust Him as Lord and King. Jesus Christ rose from the dead to prove that Jesus is the Messiah. When the Apostle Peter was preaching at Pentecost in Acts 2, he used the resurrection as a reason why the Jews should believe that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Savior. He's the Anointed One. He's the One God promised to bring salvation to Israel and the nations. Jesus rose from the dead to show that He is God. To show that He is God. John 20:27-28. You remember doubting Thomas. He did not believe that Jesus had been raised. And so Jesus appeared to him and let Thomas touch His hands and side and feet. And we read about it in John 20:27-28. Then He said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see My hands, and put out your hand and place it in My side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And Thomas answered Him, "My Lord and My God." Oh, that's amazing. I love that passage. Jesus is Lord and God. He's the God-man, and His resurrection shows that He's God. 24. Almost done. Jesus rose from the dead to show God will judge the world through Jesus Christ. Acts 17:30-31. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now He commands all people everywhere to repent, because He has fixed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom He has appointed. And of this He has given full assurance to all by raising Him from the dead. Friend, death is not only coming and certain, but judgment is coming and certain. Some people live certain ways and do certain things, and they say, when a Christian may come to them and say, "You shouldn't do that," they say, "Only God can judge me." But what they fail to realize is that God will judge them. And God is a stricter judge. He's a stricter judge than I am. Friend, God will judge you. It is certain. And God has shown that it's certain by raising Christ from the dead. He will judge you. You will stand before God, and there will be no pastor by your side. There will be no husband or wife or child by your side. There will be no advocate by your side, but you will answer for every thought, every action, everything done in secret, every word, idle word, will be taken into account on the day of judgment, God says. And friend, we will be undone. We will be undone unless we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Friend, we need Him. I need Him. We need Him on that judgment day. So like with John Brown, we can put all our good deeds in a pile and all our bad deeds in a pile and flee from both piles and cling to Jesus and trust Him alone. Oh, friend, do you know Him? Do you know Him? Jesus Christ rose from the dead finally so that we would seek the things above and Christ would be all in all. Colossians 3:1-11. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. And then notice the application. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. You see, because Jesus has been resurrected and we are in union with Him and have been raised with Him, we're to set our minds on the things above and put to death the deeds of the body, walk in holiness. And in this fellowship of the church, there is no class distinction. There's no ethnicity distinction. There's no racial distinction. But we're all one. And Christ is all and He's in all. And so He calls us, because He's been raised from the dead, to find Him, to be our all-satisfying joy and treasure and love, and therefore live. Live as children, worthy. Worthy of the gospel. Jesus Christ is the risen King. He's more beautiful than anything. He conquered all and took death's sting. Fullest pleasures He will bring. So turn from sin and to Him cling. He will forever make you sing. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for our risen King. God, we thank You for all these reasons. And I'm sure there's more of why Jesus rose from the dead. God, we pray that You would more deeply and more fully, by Your Spirit, apply these to our lives and hearts and minds. I pray, Father, that we would meditate upon these. I pray that we would live in light of the resurrection today and the rest of our days in a more powerful and fuller, more pleasing to You way. And so God, be with us and help us. For Jesus' sake, amen.